Where's your, you know, I've been gone for a couple days. Where's your Kurt's bill? Your instrument program.
Send it to my committee. I got the list.
Okay, and I'm going to send Kales. You got supposed to kill Kales?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. But where's your bill? Your Kurt's.
Oh, my bill. It's me and Kales that are one of those two.
Yeah, we got to talk about these. You know, one of the bills I thought I had in my drawer, and I don't know where it is.
Well, let's. I need about four minutes here.
Yeah, you got a committee meeting tonight.
Yeah.
Which bills are up tonight?
We're just reviewing DEQs, water quality.
Nothing. No bills.
No bills.
Okay, good.
But how late you must
be? I'm here till nine. Whatever it takes. We're gonna do it. Senate will come to order. Do we have any further messages from the House? How about reports from standing committees?
January 19, 2017, Mr. Presidential Committee Number 7, to whom is referred Senate File 44, Speech Pathology and Audiology, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. January 19, 2017, Mr. Presidential Committee Number 6, to whom was referred Senate File 86, Game and Fish Permits, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that business of consideration of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that we re-resolve the Senate into the Committee of the Whole.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate will resolve itself back in the Committee of the Whole to discuss bills on general file. Senator Pappas.
Committee of the Whole will come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 21. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 21, Death Certificates, an Act Relating to Vital Records, sponsored by Senator Baldwin, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 21 do pass. There is a standing committee amendment. I ask it be read in at this time.
Senate File 21, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 9.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the standing committee amendment. Mr. Chairman, for an explanation of both the standing committee amendment and the bill, I yield to Senator Baldwin.
Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let's go first, just go right to the amendment and get it out of the way. What the amendment does, as the good reader said, page 1, line 9, what we did is add some definitions in here at the request, mostly of the register, so it clarifies his roles and responsibilities and clarifies some things. So let's just look there. They're not on the page 1. They're new things that are added, and what it does is just puts the definitions of advanced practice registered nurse. And we reference that to 3321120A, little I. And then in X, triple double, little I, we have physician assistant, defined in 3326501A, triple I. And that And then on page 3, line 1, we just put those definitions in. We just added those to the end. And this specifically was for the registrar. And this is for the non-medical coroner shall not diagnose the cause of death without the assistance and advice of a competent, originally, as I said, physician. We added to that the advanced practice registered nurse or physician assistant. And I guess before we go into the bill, let's go ahead and do the amendment. I would encourage the passing and a favorable vote from the floor.
All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 21, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Senate File Standing Committee Amendments to Senate File 21 is passed.
Thank you much, Mr.
Senator Baldwin.
Thank you much, Mr. Chairman. Now, going back to the bill, what I would do is give you a little scenario before we read through the bill. It's a quick read. The scenario is this, and originally I thought just of rural Wyoming, but actually it applies to some of the more populated areas as well. A death certificate at this point needs to be signed by the physician, by an MD or a DO. What happens is in a little community that only has one provider in that town, it happens to be a physician assistant or advanced practice registered nurse, somebody dies in that location, then the funeral director and the coroner have to have that death certificate signed before they can go about doing any of the embalming, the funeral services, etc. By the time they find a doctor who's however many miles away, what happens is it takes days, and as the registrar noted to me yesterday, there's some cases that have been sitting out there for 40 days where nobody can sign the death certificate because that doctor doesn't know anything about the patient that died. That advanced practice registered nurse has been taking care of him for years, and I will just use for argument's sake, he died of leukemia. And she knows, or he knows, but that doctor who's 60 miles away is not up to it, and he doesn't want to sign the death certificate. So what it causes is a huge delay, and we'd like to alleviate that. The funeral directors, as well as some of these practitioners and the registrar, came to us with these concerns. So if we read through the bill, the only change on page 1 is the one we talked about in the amendment, just adding that definition. Page 2, we changed a couple of things on line 1. We changed just physician to primary health care provider, which is defined in other places in the bill as well. And then on line 5, again, we just changed that to primary health care provider from physician. And finally on page 3, and what I just read to you, it was continued off of page 2, is when the non-medical coroner, and we do have a lot of those in the state, shall not diagnose the cause of death without the assistance and advice of a competent physician, advanced practice registered nurse, or physician assistant. And what this alleviates is it alleviates a lot of heartache and a lot of, you know, problems for the family, as well as alleviates a lot of problems for the coroner, for the registrar, and for the funeral home, et cetera. Simple bill. Seems as though each day we go on, each year we go on, there's more of the advanced practice registered nurses and more of the physician assistants providing care, especially in small communities in Wyoming, which a number of people came to me and said, yeah, it's a great thing. We need to go ahead and do this. So with that, I would stand for questions.
Are there any questions? Question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with favorable recommendation of Senate File 21, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 21 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 92. Senator Landon, he's gone. Senator Coe, might I ask you to come take the chair, please? Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 92, Local Government's Plan Review Authority, an act relating to fire protection, sponsored by Senator Pappas, was referred to Committee Number 9, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Perkins, Raffas, and Von Flatern. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 92, and I ask the Chair to please call on Senator Pappas.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill, let me give you a little background before I get into the bill. Right now, as it stands, when public dollars that are used for public buildings are used for design and construction of public facilities, a plan review is required by the state fire marshal's office. If the state fire marshal has also given the particular county or municipality home rule, that county or municipality also does a code review. So this joint plan review, code review issue is something that has been very frustrating to the design community. Plus, it's a duplicative. Many times we find that the two different plan reviewers will come up with two different ideas because codes are very, very susceptible to different interpretations. And it's, in my opinion, the interpretation should stay at the local level because the folks that are in the municipalities or the counties, they're the ones that have to deal with code enforcement, and also the fire departments have to deal with fires in the buildings. They know their community better. So this bill removes joint plan review requirements. There's not that many buildings that fall into it, but there's enough that we don't need to be duplicative. So that's this bill, and so I'll quickly run through it. What I would like to do is kind of take it out of order because I want to go to the page where the meat of the bill is first, because most of it is kind of housekeeping to fix change that we're going to make. So if you turn to page 6, lines 6 through 9, actually 4 through 9, states, a plan review is not required to be submitted to the state fire marshal if the plan review is submitted to a local governmental entity which has been granted sole plan review authority pursuant to Wyoming Statute 359-121B. So that's basically the meat of the plan or the bill. And so going through the bill from the beginning, page 2, basically all these changes that you're going to see, like on page 6 there, have to be inserted because of the change we're making, deleting the dual plan review requirement. The first one there is dealing with local appeals boards. Down at the bottom of the page, we're deleting the word "and" because we're adding a new Romanet 8, and that new Romanet 8 is on page 3. Again, this upon request, assist the municipality, county, or other local governmental entity in exercising the authority granted to that entity under 121. And 121 is a local enforcement section where they have the authority. So we're just saying here that the fire marshal's office and their plan review folks will be able to come to the assistance of any of the municipalities or counties that may have local home rule. Going on, basically, 7, line 7, 11, line 21, all those are housekeeping to make everything work well. Page 4, again, both changes on page 4 are housekeeping, required to insert those section numbers. Same on page 5. Again, we're to page 6. I already explained the meat of the bill is right there. 16 and 18, again, is just reiterating in a new, different location that the municipality, county, or other governmental entity in exercising the authority granted to it under the entity is also in the exceptions section, which is 118. Housekeeping again on page 7, both of those items, page 7, line 4 and 10, or 9, excuse me. Page 8, here we're removing, this was actually a problem in the original draft of the bill on page 8, line 10. It stated Wyoming Statute 35.9.121. 121 has an A and a B a paragraph. It should have always been A, so it's basically removing B, because B deals with local authorities. So that was just a correction to something that was wrong in the statute. LSO caught it. housekeeping on the next page, on page 2, on line 2, line 12, again, we're removing the word joint and going to plan review, sole plan review authority. And then on page 10, we're doing the same thing, removing the word joint, placing the word sole in there. And then on paragraph G there, line 6 through 19, again, nothing prohibits the state fire marshal from assisting a municipality, county, or other local government in exercising or authority granted to it under the section. Effective date will be July 1st, 2017. Pretty simple bill. I stand for questions.
Discussion on Senate File 92. Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, and I have a community that is caught upon this very situation, and they're looking at perhaps, because they have no fire marshal, the state is not only reviewing new plans but existing structures as well. So they're looking at contracting for a fire inspector to get past that. Would this also apply to the authority of the state fire marshal to inspect existing state buildings, or just the authority of the state fire marshal to inspect new plans for state buildings?
Yes, Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, this only applies to publicly funded buildings with general fund dollars, or appropriated dollars, I should say. That's the only time a joint plan review is required by statute now. For instance, and the reason I'm bringing this up, because it affects me as an architect. When I design buildings at our great university over the hill, I provide my plan reviews to the city of Laramie, but I also have to provide them to the state fire marshal's office. Okay, the city of Laramie charges a plan review fee. The state of Wyoming will charge a plan review fee if on the portion of the building that's not publicly funded. For instance, I'm doing a building for athletics over there right now, and as you well know, we funded it with $20 million appropriations, and the balance of it was money that was raised privately. Well, we paid for the project, paid for the full fee to the city of Laramie, and it paid a third of the fee to the state fire marshal's office, because two-thirds of the fee was not subject to a fee. But still, we're talking thousands of dollars. We don't need to have two different entities looking at it, because when they do, invariably they look at things differently, and then it takes time and effort to resolve those issues. And frankly, for the department, the state fire marshal's office, since most of the buildings that we do have to have a joint plan review are usually normally fully funded by appropriated dollars, there's statute requirements that waive their fee. So that means they're providing the plan review for no fee. They're spending all those hours doing that. Well, the local jurisdiction is also doing that. Now, back to your question, Senator, more specifically, if it was a building that was for a private entity, not in a local home rule jurisdiction, then they would have to go to the state fire marshal's office, unless it was a building under the
exceptions. There's buildings that don't have to. Ag buildings don't have to do it. A lot of the mines, the oil fields, the railroads, there's a whole bunch of facilities that don't need to go to the fire marshal's office. Also, buildings under 5,000 square feet or under $40,000. There's some limitations there. But for the most part, if they're not home rule, they go to the fire marshal's office, unless they're publicly funded dollars. And if they're publicly funded dollars, right now they have to go to two different entities, and that's what I'm trying to get rid of.
Thank you.
Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick question. If there's a conflict between the two entities under the National Electric Code, and because of outside dollars coming, say, from the feds that require one, but the home rule has a different code that does not comply with that, and so there's a jurisdictional dispute, does that become an issue if you don't have a joint plan?
Senator Pappas?
Mr. Chairman, typically no, because when the state grants home rule to the entity adopts the codes that the state adopts. So every jurisdiction is using the National Electrical Code for their electrical code. They're using the International Building Codes, the fire codes, the mechanical codes for the building codes. Now there is one caveat to that, and that's for medical care facilities, and there's a whole section in there, 121 0.1D, that has a different agency looking, a different state agency, the health department, looking at health care facilities, and those are only health care facilities that seek CMS reimbursement. And the whole reason for that is the federal requirement, they use a different code. They use the NFPA Life Safety Code 101, which no one else in the state uses. So hope that answers the question.
Further discussion, Senate File 92. Senator Bernard.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas, was there any discussion on if there was a possibility of the insurance fees going up because you're not using two plan reviewers, you're just using one?
Senator Pappas? Or Senator Von Flatter first. Let's go to Senator Von Flatter.
Thank you. I just want to remind the body, try to avoid using proper names of others in here and to speak to the chair and don't speak to a particular senator. Thank you.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think there are any, to my knowledge, there aren't any issues insurance-wise. Folks who insure either project for builder's risk or the insurance for any of the subcontractors or even the Arizona Emissions Insurance that the designers carry really don't care who does plan reviews. There's no reason for the insurers to be involved in, to my knowledge.
Reader discussion, Senate File 92. You ready for questions? Questions on Senator Von Flatter's motion that Senate File 92 pass Committee of the Whole. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Senate File 92 is passed Committee of the Whole. Senator Pappas.
Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 4. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 4, Water Projects, Map and Plat Filing Requirements, an act relating to appropriations of water, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Was referred to Committee Number 5, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, Meyer, and Moniz. Senator Hicks, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee of the whole rise and report, it do so with the due pass recommendation on Senate File Number 4. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment, if I could have that read in at this time.
Will the reading clerk read the amendment?
Senate File 4, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 5, line 21.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, for an explanation of this good little bill, I would reference it to Senator Emmerich.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 pertains throughout the entire bill, and I would ask for...
He's read it in, but he hasn't moved it. Would you please move the amendment?
I thought...
It was read in, not moved.
I would like to move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 4, Mr. Chairman. And I would ask that we move to, I will call for the question, because this pertains to the entire bill, is cleanup, additive language, and just adds more things that deal with maps and plats, such as photographs, quadrangles, and things of that sort, before I get into the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of Senator Hicks's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 4, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The amendment to Amendment 1 to Senate File 4 has passed. Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This appears to be a rather complicated bill when, in fact, the philosophy brought to us from the state engineer is actually quite simple. It will consolidate statutes relating to water right application requirements, and it will consolidate statutes that refer to engineers and surveyors. So what we're going to do with this little bill is we're going to move a portions of statute 3329801 in the map and plat division and move it to the statutes in water 414507. The bulk of the language being moved relates to exceptions and the requirements that maps and plats be prepared by an engineer or a surveyor, and they are found in Senate File 4 beginning on page 5, line 11. Through the end of the Senate file on page 8. Now, typically, these are small facilities such as stock and other reservoirs that contain no more than 20 acre feet of water and will have a dam height of 20 feet or less. Other water rights that are exempted from these requirements include springs developed for stock use at up to 25 gallons per minute and certain floodwater detention reservoirs. So, in addition to accomplish the consolidation of statutes, new language, in addition to that moved from Title 33, is required in Title 41 in A and B to make it clear there will be certain types of applications that will require maps and plats to be prepared by a professional engineer or surveyor. In general, outside of a few additions for clarifications, this is not a change in statute at all. It's an effort to recognize and reorganize existing language and place it in a location where it should have been in the first place. An analogy that I've come up with is it's like putting engineering stuff in a DEQ bill, in DEQ statutes. This will aid some constituents because we're relaxing the requirements to use an engineer or surveyor on applications, and in others we will not, which will save a considerable amount of money for some constituents. Basically, this is taking one group of statutes and putting them all together so they are more understandable. And I can go through the entire bill, but I think I would stand for questions in specific areas because this is merely just moving things to where they are easier to read, easier to deal with, and make sense. They did not before. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any questions, any comments? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask the proponents of the bill if they can assure us that we aren't adding requirements to use engineers and surveyors to the small stock reservoirs and to the domestic and livestock water wells that are 25 gallons a minute or less.
Senator Emmerich.
I'd have to the good senator from Bates Creek, we are relaxing requirements, as I mentioned earlier, to those reservoirs and stock ponds that will contain less than 20 acre feet of water and will have smaller dams, as well as developing springs of 25 gallons or less.
Any further discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of Senator Hicks' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with favorable recommendation of Senate File 4, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? No. Senate File 4 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 19, Snowplow Lights, an act relating to the regulation of traffic on highways, sponsored by Senator Emmerich, was referred to Committee Number 8, which returned the committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee in the whole rise to report, it do so with a do-pass motion on Senate File 19, Snowplow Lights. There was a standing committee amendment. I would ask that that be read in at this time.
Will the reading clerk please read the amendment?
Senate File 19, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 6.
I would move that amendment, and I would turn the discussion of this bill over to the prime sponsor, Senator Emmerich.
Senator Emmerich.
Hello again, Mr. Chairman. The impetus of this bill will become clear as I give you a bit of a narrative that begins in 2009. Wyoming Department of Transportation advocated a change in snowplow lights, and you've probably seen them. There is a amber flashing light on the left side of the sandbox of snowplows, and there is a blue light on the right side of the sandbox in the snowplows that YDOT uses. Well, it was not made completely clear, and in about 2016, several counties started adopting the use of blue lights on the rear of the snowplows. There at the time, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, at the time there was anecdotal evidence, subsequently it's become more scientific, that blue lights in blowing snow are actually more visible than amber lights. And this is only on the rear, not the front, to confuse with fire engines, things of that sort. Well, in 2016, several counties were adopting blue lights and amber lights on the back of their snowplows. Well, YDOT brought it to the attention of the offending counties and said, you really can't do that. So what we've done with this little bill is to clear up language giving those entities, counties, and cities the opportunity to use these amber and specifically the blue lights on the back of their snowplows. In the bill, Senate File 19, if you go to page 2, and this also incorporates the amendments, We go to line 7, 6, 7, and 8, actually, and it says vehicles used by a municipality, county, or the department to clear snow from streets. And then it goes on, maybe equipped with one or more lights. It's merely amending the statutes to allow those entities to use blue lights on the back of their snowplows. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would call for the question on the amendment, please.
Okay. The motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 19. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 19 has passed. Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If there are no questions, I would move the question, or I would call for the question on the bill.
Question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with favorable recommendation of Senate File 19, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 19 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 38. Will the Senate clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 38, Veterans License Plate Stickers Repeal, an act relating to motor vehicles, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, was referred to Committee Number 8, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with a do-pass motion on Senate File 38, Veterans License Plate Stickers Repeal, and turn the discussion on this bill to the good Senator Jim Anderson from Natrona County.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the bill is to eliminate veteran stickers that are put on license plates, and that is page 3, line 8, through page 4, line 3, that was stuck in there to put these stickers on. The sticker was just a sticker that you could put onto your license plate, and it said Vietnam War veteran or Iraqi Freedom veteran or whatever it was, and you just glued it onto your license plate. The problem is that they're not selling any of them because we moved to a branch-only method on those plates, so now you can get an Army or Air Force, not a sticker, but it's a permanent part of the license plate, and everybody has gone to that because they like it a lot better. We started this, it actually came out in 2010, but 2009, they started and they sold 451 stickers. And we're down to 16 stickers in 2016, so we think the branch, of the military has taken the place of this. I have some personal experience with this. I had, one of those stickers, they actually come in two piece. One says veteran and then your war, and they did not stick on your license plate, and most of them were torn off in car washes. So they were not very satisfactory for anybody, so that's why we're not selling them, and that's why the Veterans Commission has asked to discontinue them. I urge your support of this change. Thank you.
Question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 38, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Senate File 38 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 64. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 64, Accident Report Confidentiality, an act relating to motor vehicle accidents. sponsored by Senator Von Flatern, was referred to Committee Number 8, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee the whole rise to report, it do so with a do pass motion on Senate File 64, Accident Report Confidentiality. There was a standing committee amendment. I would ask that the reading clerk read that in at this time.
Senate File 64, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, above line 1.
Thank you, Mr. Yes. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 64, and for explanation of the bill, I would turn this over to the primary sponsor, Mr. Vice President, Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you. It's okay, I'm just asleep up here.
I'll take that as a recognition on my...
Senator Von Flatern, you have the floor.
All right, thank you. Fellow Senators, Senate File 64, Accident Reports Confidentiality, has this massive amendment that you have, which is standing first reading, Standing Committee Number 1 amendment. And it's a good thing I didn't deal with the whole article, because you would have had several pages of this, where the YDOT and particularly the Highway Patrol has adopted the word crash instead of accident. So everywhere through all the statutes, if you went through this whole article, which this only deals with a small section of it, but if you had dealt with this whole article, you'd have had pages of this. So what this amendment does is everywhere you see the word accident, you will insert crash. And so that's what I will not reinforce that. And I will not mention it again. And if you go down to page 2 and you go line 9, this is the only other substantial change where we struck the word article, the new language on line 10, struck the word article and reinstated section, which is at the end of line 9 there. So you reinstate section and you take out the word article. Okay, now to explain the bill. So if I could have a vote or a discussion on the amendment, we'd be good.
Question. Okay. Am I online? There we go. Okay. all those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 64, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 64 has been adopted. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So let me explain the bill. What happened was that when we had a change in the management of the Wyoming Highway Patrol, they decided that, and he rightfully so, he read this statute, and it said all accident reports and supplemental information to a crash report filed in connection with the administration of laws of this state relating to deposits of security or proof of financial responsibility shall be confidential. So he read all accident reports shall be confidential. They used to give them out to the newspapers asked for them, whoever wanted to ask for them. They'd give the accident report with some redacted information as far as Social Security, anything to do with your insurance, whether you're insured, your company insured you, your insurance policy, that would be redacted. But he said, since it says all accident reports are confidential, I can't even give you that information. So the managing editor of one of our leading state newspapers was recently hired this spring and found out he had just lost a lawsuit he didn't even know he was in, because the judge had ruled that the Highway Patrol is correct. They're all confidential. So he went down and met with the Highway Patrol, and this was the great thing about this. You actually had the media and the Highway Patrol meeting together and working on a bill and not at each other's throat with our attorneys and the courts. And so they came up with this compromise, which was to strike only in this section, not this article, because the article also has the accident reports in it. It has the diagrams the officer may draw of the accident report. All that can be used in court. And if you look at page 2C, it says no written report in this section. Well, that's what we changed, article of section, can be used in court. Well, they, of course, were not happy about that. But basically, they struck the word, all this does is strike the word all accident or crash reports. The old language is all accident reports. It struck that language, and it said supplemental information will be confidential, which is Social Security in a way of identifying the person involved in the wreck through Social Security numbers, insurance numbers. Anything else was confidential, but that the accident report, with that redacted, could be released to the media or to an individual that asked about it. And then we had to go into the municipalities because they all use a standard reporting form, and they use the Highway Patrol's reporting form. And we had to go in there and do the same things for them to say that that the supplemental information would be confidential. And that's what page three does, little A. It says any municipality may, by ordinance, require the driver vehicle, so et cetera. Once again, you changed an accident to crash report, or you changed the word accident to crash, which I'm not really understanding why they wanted to change all that to crash. It sounds so ominous. And then on line 13 of page 3, we repealed A little I and 2 little I, which is where it would conflict if you left those in there with the confidential aspect. That we eliminated in accident reporting or crash reporting. I got to get used to that word. In crash reporting, so we repeal those. Municipality has the same rights. They use the same forms that the Wyoming Highway Patrol uses. This is a way for the media or any person to get the basics of the accident or the crash report without getting any confidential information. They came to this agreement. It was great to see the media and the Wyoming Highway Patrol working together. And so that's this bill, and I stand for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 64, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Senate File 64 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. We have cleared the desk.
Turn his mic on.
Oh. May I have that once more, please?
Sure. You can have it at least once more. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No. Motion has carried. Mr. President.
Will the reading clerk please read the Committee of the Whole report?
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 55, do pass amended. Senate File 21, do pass amended. Senate File 92, do pass. Senate File 4, do pass amended. Senate File 19, do pass amended. Senate File 38, do pass. Senate File 64, do pass amended. Senator Pappas, Chair.
Senator Pappas?
Excuse me. Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
Heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That report is adopted. Reports from standing committees? That clears the desk, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that we stand adjourned. Pay attention to this one. It's a little bit different than usual. I move that we stand adjourned until 9:30 a.m. Friday to January 20th. Mr. Chairman, if I may, Mr. President, if I may explain for just a moment.
You may.
The intent is that we're going to start a little bit earlier. I've checked with the other chairman, so I don't think hopefully we're not jamming our committees up. I think we'll be okay. Our goal is to come in. We'll work third reading. Obviously, we'll do second reading, third reading. We'll do some committee of the whole, but my hope is we're to dismiss us by about noon. We're a little bit ahead of our committees. We can let our general fire replenish it a little bit, but that's the goal. Be here tomorrow a little bit so we make sure we're out of here. And also, appropriations, again, is down there, and we're trying to get them out of here at a decent time tomorrow, too. Some more time we can give them to finish up their hard work down there so they can get that bill done, the better off it is for them, too. So with that, Mr. President.
Announcements. Senator Coe.
Mr. President, your committee number four, Education. Listen up to this because we're going to meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and I already had the notice out, or I would have moved it up to 8, so I want to meet promptly at 9 o'clock. And I want to finish working Senate File 82, graduation requirements, CPR, and get it done as quick as possible. I think we're all on the same page and get back here by 9:30.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in the normal room, S-27, Senate File 99, Community and Rural Health Clinic Grant Sunset Date, and Senate File 101, Unemployment Compensation Exemption, Seasonal Employment.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, your joint committee, or your Agricultural Committee number 5, will be meeting with the Joint Committee in 5 o'clock in room L54. Members, I would suggest you might want to get there early. This is a joint meeting with one of our other standing committees. We're going to have 28 people there. Seating is going to be a little tight.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I would recommend that the Minerals Committee also meet with the Ag Committee in L54 at 5 o'clock.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet Friday, January 20th at 8 a.m. Jonah Room, S-18, will take up two bills, Senate File 105, Uniform Power of Attorney Act, and Senate File 100, Limited Liability Companies. Thank you.
Any other announcements? The Senate is adjourned until 9:30 a.m. tomorrow, Friday, January 20th.